Let's go to our message now, this morning. We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, and let's check it out this morning. Chasing the Wind is what I've entitled this new series we're doing, Chasing the Wind. I saw the wind blow real hard this morning on the bay and about knocked my house over, I thought, for just a minute. But you know what? I didn't get out and chase it because I couldn't catch it. Amen? So many people doing so many things in their lives trying to find satisfaction, trying to find contentment, trying to find fulfillment. They live their whole life, still ain't happy. What's it take to make you happy? Chasing the wind. Chasing the wind's not going to get you anywhere. And we have a book in the Bible. It's one of the most unusual books in the Bible. It's loved by atheists. Atheists use this book to attack the Bible and to attack the church because it's so controversial. Here it's a book in the Bible where Solomon is just bearing his soul of his journey in life, and life is useless, and life doesn't matter, and life is pathetic, and life stinks, and life's this, and life's that. And they use this book to try to attack. I thank God that we've got a God. He certainly is not intimidated by atheists. And He does not flinch whatsoever, putting the record of a man's journey, just the way he went through it, clear as a bell. Let him speak his mind. He didn't mind at all putting that in the book. Oh yeah. And Solomon says several things that totally is the opposite of what God would say and how God feels. But this is God's record of a man's testimony. Your testimony is your testimony. Amen? And your record's your record. And we have this record in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at it over the next 5 weeks is my plan. Amen? That's the plan. We're going to start out today chasing the wind. And Roger, we're going to have to fly like the wind. Amen? Here we go, buddy. Today's message, keep moving real quick. I can't get no satisfaction. Okay? And get ready. There's a surprise in the message. Here we go. I can't get no satisfaction. That was Solomon's song. Number one hit for Solomon. Number one on the charts. I can't get no satisfaction. That's what this book is about. Ecclesiastes. The word Ecclesiastes means assembly. And we're just going to go through this real quick. Solomon wrote the book. Why, Pastor Clark, do you think Solomon wrote the book? Verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of who? King in Jerusalem. Little note at the bottom down here. David had no other son who was king. Period. I'm just amazed at books that I read from theologians who think they know better than the plain word of God. They say, well, no, I don't think he wrote it, or this person wrote it. What is up with that? Here's the way I think. You can think any way you want to. When common sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Listen, the Bible, God gave us the Bible. He gave us His Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible. But so often we try to one-up everybody and try to come up with something new or something crazy or something spooky other than just what the Word says. I firmly believe Solomon wrote the book without a doubt. That's what I think. Solomon's name is never mentioned. Big deal. Why is his name not mentioned? Hey, look, if you'd have started off with the blessing of God in your life, being the wisest man who ever lived, He blessed you with riches, He put His hand on your life like nobody's business, and you went through your life and started living life like a madman, an utter fool. If I wrote a book at the end of my life, I probably wouldn't put my name in it either. You understand? He calls himself the preacher. The preacher. By the way, that's what we call preachers down in the South. It's nothing, and now people call me Pastor Gary or preacher, whatever. It doesn't matter to me at all. But the fact is, in the South, where I grew up in North Carolina, we didn't call our pastor. He was Preacher Eddie. Preacher Eddie. That's the way we say it down the South. Solomon says, call me the preacher. Okay? Here he is, late in life, end of his life, and this book is written. The word preacher comes from a Hebrew word. I don't do a lot of Hebrew, but it helps sometimes. Koheleth. Which means to gather. The word means to gather. It means to basically gather an assembly together. Gather an assembly together and speak. Preacher. That's what a preacher does. But it also means to gather, flat out. Solomon had gone astray, but now he was gathered back to God. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Doesn't mean he was still firing on every cylinder. But he had come at the end of his rope. He had tried everything, and now he was gathered back. That's what this word means. It reminds me of Matthew 18. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which one is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that one sheep than of the 99 which were not astray. Solomon had been gathered back together, and he was coming back to his senses. He had lived life crazily. How many have never read the book of Ecclesiastes? Let's just be honest. You've not read this book really that much, okay? Great. Well, this is what it's talking about. I would like to challenge you, like I did the Song of Solomon. Get in this book and read it. Read it. You're going to find so much out about it. It's going to bless your life. You're going to really relate. It is going to relate, and you're going to feel like, oh, man, this has been my life. This is Solomon's testimony of where chasing the wind will get you. You know where chasing the wind will get you? Right here. Nowhere. Nowhere. So many of you today, listening to my voice, so many of you are chasing things. This is really important. This is what you're going to do. Listen, at the end of the day, you're going to die just like the rest of us. You're going to be deader than a hammer one day. I know that's ugly preaching, but it's going to happen. It's appointed unto man once to die. And this merry-go-round, this circus you're on right now, trying to one-up everybody, let me tell you something. It's not going to satisfy you. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void in your life. I don't care what you say. Why? That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. I've experienced it in my own life. Doesn't mean you can't even be a Christian in time start going down this trail. You certainly can. You can get all messed up in your head. The word preacher also means debater. Now, this is what the word means to my wife. Okay? She says, I get up here on the stage and I debate all the time. She says, you're like a lawyer. You're up there trying to pick a fight. I've already done it two or three times already this morning. Trying to pick a fight in a message. But it does mean debate. That word. Here's what I think Solomon's saying. He's saying, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. He's the preacher. I've been there. Put it up. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I thank God for a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. The wisest, richest, most successful man who ever lived. He wrote about it so you and I wouldn't have to go down that path. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. Oh yeah, atheists have a great time with this book. God says, that doesn't bother me a bit. I want to help my kids. Amen? I want to help them. And that book is here for that reason. I believe Solomon is older. I believe he's humbled himself before God now, just like we sang earlier. God then permitted him to tell us what life is like when you fail to pursue God and His purposes. Let's keep moving. What is it like when we fail to pursue God? It's like chasing the wind. Can you say that with me? It's like chasing the wind. That is your life if God ain't in it. It's just chasing the wind, man. Come on. Let's keep looking. I believe Solomon's goal. Why did he write this book? Why did he keep this journal? I believe Solomon's goal was to convince and gather back as many rebels as possible. You know, a rebel who's gone astray, who's come back to God, he can talk to rebels. Amen? The guy that's lily white so many times, doesn't seem to have ever done anything wrong, they're not even on the same page together. Solomon, there's not a soul in this room that's tried anything that Solomon didn't try. Something to satisfy, some wicked something. Solomon did it all. He was a rebel. And he wrote this book, I believe, and God allowed it in the Bible so that as many rebels as possible could be drawn back to God, could be gathered back. Let's keep looking. What's the purpose of this book? Why was this book really written? We've said several things so far, and what does it really say? Here's the purpose of the book. It's to convince us all of the uselessness of any worldview that has anything to do with man himself. If our worldview has anything to do with man himself, this is not the teaching that we should have or we should believe. Any philosophy or any belief that regards man and the world we live in as the ultimate joy and end in life is vanity. That's what this book is all about. If you're pursuing anything that doesn't have God as the center, if God's not part of your life and you're not connected with Him, this is going to be like chasing the wind. Keep moving, Raj. It's chasing the wind. You're going to see that a lot this morning in this message. They're key words. Key words can help you understand the book. It can help me. Are y'all with me today? I feel like it's teaching time with Uncle Gary or something. But anyway, after Song of Solomon, anything's going to be different for me. But key words in this book, in this 12-chapter book. Man appears 47 times. Next. Labor, 36 times. Under the sun, the phrase under the sun appears 30 times. Vanity appears 37 times. Now, do you get the point? Here's the point. Look at it. Man, labor, under the sun, vanity. All that a man can do under the sun is what? Vanity. That's the whole mean. This is the book. Those things are mentioned so many times. That's what this is saying. Anything that you can do under the sun, emphasis on you and not God, is vanity. Let's keep moving. What does vanity mean? It means empty. It means futile. It means purposeless. It means meaningless. It's not the same word we think of as vain. Go looking in a mirror. That guy's so vain. You so vain. Remember that song? You so vain. You know? Anyway, that's not what it means. It means empty, futile, purposeless, meaningless. Matter of fact, the word vanity in the Hebrew, the word means breath. The word means wind. Bunch of hot air. That's what it means. That's what our life is like without Jesus Christ as the center of our life. It is going to be just like chasing the wind. I'm talking about in the big picture. Now, you can do all kind of exploits. And old Englewood will think it's big and bad. But guess what? What's Englewood? You hear me? You know what I'm saying? Compared to God, I mean, I love this place. But what you do, you're going to compare that to our Creator? Listen, you need to know the Creator. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. Let's look at the verses. Verses 2 and 3. We saw verse 1, now verse 2 and 3. Vanity of vanities. What's vanity mean? Wind, like chasing the wind. Emptiness. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. The one who was gathered back, the debater. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, all his work, which he takes under the sun? You can work like a dog your whole life. You can be at the top of the class. I mean, that's good. I want to challenge you to work hard. But if that's your goal, if that's your dream, if that's the end of everything, that just ain't going to cut it. That's going to leave you empty. I can't get no satisfaction. Listen to how a Chicago sewer worker described his own vanity. Here we go. Simple preaching right here. Ready? I dig the ditch to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. Is that your life? It's a vicious circle. I dig the ditch to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch, to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch, to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. Is there more to life than that? Say. I think there's more to life than that. There's got to be more to life than this. And Solomon is going to tell us in his 12-chapter book. Now, it's an oddball book. It's strange. But he's going to tell us some things. And we're going to learn some things today, I believe, in this message this morning. I can't get no satisfaction. Ecclesiastes is the journal of Solomon's journey. It's the journal. Can you say that with me? It's the journal of Solomon's journey. What is this book in the Bible? It's the journal of his journey. King Solomon. Archaeological discoveries have confirmed the record of Solomon's wealth, power, and prestige. He possessed the intellectual prowess, financial resources, political power to pursue whatever he desired. Do you understand? I mean, as great as you folks are today, and folks that will be listening on radio, listen, I doubt any kings are coming from here. Amen? I mean, I love you, but I don't think I'm speaking to kings today. You know, we're just regular folk, ain't we? Some of us may be a little better off than some of the others, but at the bottom, at the end of the day, we're just us. But this man was a king. We need to listen to him. And he's in the Word of God for a reason. It records. It's a record. Can you say that word with me? Record. 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 It's a record of his pursuits and the lessons he learned through those pursuits. That's what this book is about. And you know what Solomon says? You know what Solomon says? Guess. Here we go. You ready, Kel? A little louder. A little louder. I can't get no sorry. Satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, 'cause I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no, take me down. I can't get no. I'm
driving in my car, and a man comes on the radio. He's telling me more and more about some useless information, supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no. I can't get no. Hey, hey, hey. Cause I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no.
What do you say?
I can't get no. One other verse. When I'm watching my TV, and a man comes on to tell me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man cause he doesn't smoke the same cigarette as me. Well, I can't get no. You get the point? I can't get no.
Good, Kevin. I think we shocked them. Amen. Amen. Crazy. It's funny. It's funny. I know several of you probably felt like getting up, walking out. I can't believe Clark's singing a rock song, a Mick Jagger song at Fellowship Church. But guess what? But we'll talk about this devil, Solomon. We'll talk about this ungodly man. We'll let what he said be said in church. Amen. I believe if Solomon was living, I believe that would have been his number one hit. I can't get no satisfaction. Absolutely. Solomon wrote a lot of songs. We're going to see it this morning. Do you think all his songs were just good, good little songs? Say, out of 1,000 songs this guy wrote, are you kidding me? A lot of the stuff was nastiness. You know when that song was written? Somebody tell me what year I Can't Get No Satisfaction was written. Somebody guess. 19 what? 65. That's an old song. Can you believe those guys are still singing? But you know what? Listen to me. Listen, here's the deal. They're coming to the end of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes because they're all looking like they're about dead. And you can give your life to anything, but at the end of the book, you die. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, let's go to the message now. Here we are. We're ready to go. I thought we'd lose half the audience. So far, you're sticking here with me. Let's check out this book. What is this book about? First message, I can't get no satisfaction, Solomon speaking. First of all, he says life itself is just a wearisome cycle. Life itself is just a wearisome cycle. Life is more than just a wearisome cycle, by the way. But this is the way Solomon felt. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. People come and people go. The sun also rises. The sun goes down. It hastes to the place where it arose. Every day it'll come up. It'll go down. It'll come up. It'll go down. It was driving him crazy. Verse 6. The wind goes toward the south. It turns about up to the north. It whirls about continually. The wind returns again according to its circuits. Funny thing. This book written about 3,000 years ago. Wind and how its currents are and the circuits of wind were not understood till many, many years after this. It'd been something if people had read the Bible. Could understand some things. All the rivers run into the sea. This is crazy. Here's a guy that had all the wisdom in the world. All the rivers run into the sea, but the sea isn't full. I can't figure it out. Can you say? You got it figured out? Wild. It was just driving him up the wall. Okay? Keep moving. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear is not filled with hearing. It's something we're just never satisfied. The thing that has been is what's going to be. That's the way life is. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Now, certainly there are new things. There are new inventions, new things that we see happening all the time. But Solomon looked at everything and at the end of the day, nobody's creating any new worlds, are they? Say, things happen pretty much the way they always have happened. And that frustrated him. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It's already been of old time, which was before us. I can't get no satisfaction. There's no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I don't want to get off track too much, but we just celebrated President's Week. It's funny how a great man like George Washington can live. He loved God. He loved his family. I remember as a kid in my school being taught that George Washington died of venereal disease. Didn't die of venereal disease at all. So many people out there rewriting history. We're so soon to forget godly people. George Washington would get up at 4 a.m, go to a chair in his room and pray for 1 hour. That's the truth. He would get on a horse many times and ride up to 25 miles to go to church, not just Sunday morning. He'd do it Sunday night. If you were in George Washington's army and you used God's name in vain or a swear word, he would have you beaten. He's a bad dude, ain't he? It's the kind of president I like. Amen? I like George Washington. It's funny how things are so easily forgotten. And everything you're pursuing right now, and so much emphasis you put on everything you're doing, is really going to be forgotten. That's the truth, friend. I hate to break the news to you today. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen? That's what I want to know, because that ain't going to be forgotten. It's so important. This is a big, big important book. Let's keep looking. So, second point this morning. He said life's just a vicious cycle. Number two, we see the king's quest for meaning. He looked at the life. He looked at the world. And he went on this journey, this quest. Ecclesiastes 1:12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I went on this journey, this quest. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is like chasing the wind. All is vexation of spirit. That which is crooked can't be made straight. Put down your pipe and smoke it. I mean, you can try to make a difference, but something as crooked is going to be crooked. And that which is wanting can't be numbered. He went on this quest for meaning. That brings us to the third point, and that is to look at his quest. And we're flying now. We're in gear and we're moving. Number three, there can be no purpose in life apart from God. Can you say that with me? There can be no purpose in life apart from God. One more time. There can be no purpose in life apart from God. Now let's see what Solomon. This is where he wants to help us. Solomon says, I've tried it all. I've tried it all. Look at what he did. Let's check it out, Raj. We're going to go through the book, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we're going to see what he tried. First of all, wisdom. Smarts. Wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1:16. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten me more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. I perceive this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. He said, the more I knew, the more sorry I became, sorrowful I became. The more I knew, I went after wisdom. Look at 1 Kings. You might say, well, he wasn't a very bright rascal. He didn't know things I know. Let's see. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. God speaking, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any like thee after you. Verse 13. I have also given you, which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Solomon got wisdom from God. He was the wisest man who ever lived. That's what the Bible says. And here's a guy that said, I looked for wisdom high and low. I did everything I could, and it didn't satisfy me. Let's keep looking. What else did he do? Pleasure. Verse 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I'll prove thee with myrrh. Enjoy pleasure. Behold, this also was vanity. I'll try to just go have a good time. I'll party, baby! You think the king could party or not? What? Say. You think he could throw a bigger party than you? No, I got the good part. No, trust me. Okay? Pleasure. How about comedy? He said, I said of laughter, it's mad, and of myrrh, what does it? He even went after comedy. Have you seen where comedy without God leads today on a television? Say, turn on the Comedy Central station. Since when did body parts and body fluids become funny? It's not funny to me. It's a sad thing. I can't sit down with my kids, you know, half the time and watch something that comes out of a comedian's mouth that isn't foul, that isn't vulgar, that isn't nasty. It's great having a laugh. I love to laugh. I love to sit down. I love to watch somebody who's funny. It is hilarious. I love doing that. Bottom line, it ain't going to satisfy you. You hear me say? It's not going to satisfy you, getting you a good laugh. And comedy without God leads to Bill Maher. Amen? Pathetic. John Stewart. Oh, guy's funny. Short little guy. Funny. You know? But so many things he says. Vulgar. Horrible. Ripping on our country constantly. I don't like that. Get your kicks where you want to get them. It ain't going to satisfy you. Alcohol. Here's what he said. I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. He said, I went after wine. How many people have ever, you've known somebody, you've done it yourself. You've tried to drown your sorrows. You've tried to find relief from the bottle. Can I see your hand? Come on. Come on, it's not right. You done it? You did it. Sin, sin, right? Did it do it? Yes or no? It didn't do it. You're here, aren't you? Praise God. You're here. You're on a journey. Amen. You're coming to see Jesus. Amen. Coming to hear from Jesus, His Word. Hallelujah. You're coming to worship Jesus. Why? Because drowning your sorrows with a bottle won't fly. I'm just going to say something else. Just again, not trying to be ugly, but I don't drink, period. Flat out, period. That's not an indictment on what you do. Certainly, the Bible is not absolutely 100% against wine or drinking. You know? But I do think a very good case can be made for not drinking. The case I'm making in my life is because my mother was a drunk. And I saw where it took her, and it ain't taking me down that path. I don't want to go down that path. I don't need to waste my money on the mess. Okay? It's not going to satisfy. Amen? My favorite drink? Sweet tea, baby. And I'm learning now to drink it unsweet. It's horrible. Amen? Anyway, listen, but even as good as sweet tea is it going to satisfy Clark? Uh-uh. It just isn't. It's not going to do it. Let's look at another one. Real estate. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. You can go out there, and the real estate market's been crazy over the last couple of years. You can pursue that till the cows come home. You can get it all, baby. You can buy this, and you can buy that, and you can go there, and you can go here. It's going to end up empty, friend. That's not going to satisfy you. That's not to say you couldn't make a good investment. It's not to say that you can't be great at selling it. Not saying that at all, but is that your goal? I'm going to get all this stuff. I'm going to get all this stuff. You're going to get more than Solomon. Somebody tell me. I'm not going to get more than Solomon. Oh, little bit you got. Oh, you got a lot more than me, maybe. But you have nothing compared to him. He's trying to tell you, wake up. Okay? Let's keep moving. Gardening. I'll get out and work in the flowers. That's where I'll be happy. Amen? I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees and all of them. All kinds of fruit. Gardening is great fun, isn't it? I love to garden. I love to get out and do stuff like that. But if this is the end of my life as far as, oh, look, I've got a nice little flower. I mean, come on. Is there not more to life than that? That's not dissing gardening or something. That's a good thing. Gardening's great. But is that what you're going to find all you can do? Do you think Solomon probably had better plants than you? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure enough. Here we go. Personnel. I'll just hire me some folk. I got me servants, maidens, all the servants born in my house also had great possessions, great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I'll get me the biggest staff in Englewood. Big Harry Dell. So what? I'll have the best corporation. I'll have the most people working for me. Is that going to satisfy? Yes or no? No. Most of you say, you just going to have more headaches, brother. I sort of like small staffs, quite frankly, with you. Anyway, riches. I gathered me silver, gold, the peculiar treasure of the kings of the provinces. He had so much money, it wasn't even funny. He could buy anything he wanted. Money was no object. People came from other countries and just gave him money. They would just come to him and say, here, we want to give you all this gold. How many had somebody do that to him lately? You see what I'm saying? He had all this riches. He's saying it doesn't satisfy. Band. I got me some singers. Look at that. Sound like a Southern, don't it? I got me some singers. Some men singers, women singers, the delights of sons of men, musical instruments, all that sorts. You know what? My son wants to sing. He wants to get him a band. But just like I tell him, I'm telling you, listen, son, a band ain't the end of the world, okay? This is not gonna be the greatest thing in your life. The greatest thing in your life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. It's not going to feel. Nobody, I don't think, in the room loves music as much as me, but we'd have a fight if we got right here. We got a lot of great musicians here. But I love music. But you need to have more than just a song you sing. Are you hearing me? Or some records you play. Let's keep looking. Reputation. I was great. Increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. I'll get a reputation. So many people work so hard. I'm not talking about having a good reputation. A good reputation is a good thing. But so many people work so hard to get the best name. The best name. Oh, I'm going to be the best. I can hobnob with the Joneses and all these other folk. You know what I'm saying? I can do this. That is the ultimate. I can be in some high society club. Is that going to say? I don't know much about it. But what I do know about clubs like that, their life's a wreck. Amen? They long for a simple life. Many of them. Reputation. Is that your goal? What people think of you? Keep moving. Thank you. Oh, there's verses up there I'm not reading. I'm sorry, buddy. Here's Solomon. Listen to me. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he built, look at it. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts of thy wisdom." Verse 7. "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes saw it. And behold, the half was not told me. For thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard." This guy had everything. He had reputation. Matter of fact, the queen of Sheba did what when she saw everything? Somebody tell me. She fainted. How many people fainted over what you got? Keep that in mind. Okay? What else? I know this is long. I can't believe all this stuff. Education. He spake 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. Education's a great thing. Believe it or not, I got a college degree. I even had an honorary doctorate. Amen? All that kind of good stuff. Big deal. Do I know Jesus? Do I know the Bible? I might can impress you with all kinds of sports info and business stuff I know, but do you know God? Do you know the Word? Can you lead a soul to Christ? Say, can you encourage somebody from the Bible? This is important. So many people go after education, 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 end up atheists for crying out loud. Be careful not to get so full of yourself and that you know so much that you know more than God. You don't. Solomon was the wisest who ever lived. Very doubtful you're going to quite get to the level he was at. He spake of trees from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, even to hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spake also of beast of the fowl, of creeping things, of fishes. He could talk about science, everything. There came people from all over to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Anybody came from a long way to hear you lately? From all kings of the earth, which had heard his wisdom. People came from these great places around the world to hear this man. Don't get too full of yourself. Amen? Come on. You and me both. Let's go. Power. This is sort of funny. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Do you know Solomon had a great army? But because of his father David, his kingdom for about 60 years was at peace. So Solomon was so frustrated. He had this great army, but he never got to kick anybody's tail. You know what I'm saying? He never got to use this army. Crazy. But he had power, man. He could get to sit there and watch them. Didn't satisfy. What else? Sex. In case you didn't think he had any, let's read it. Here we go. He had 700 wives. Princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Listen to me. Listen, mister. You think you're going to be satisfied with the sweet thing down the hall with a little short skirt? She ain't going to satisfy you. Your life's just going to go from bad to worse to worse to worse to worse. Get with the program. That's not going to satisfy you. Oh, my marriage would be great if I... Listen, you need to find your peace in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing the message today? Aren't you glad this is in the Bible? What's really nice is old Clark don't have to go down that trail because somebody else already done it for me and it showed me this stuff doesn't fly. I need God in my life. Let's keep moving. Wow, this is rough. The king's conclusion. Here's what he said. I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, on all the labor that I labored to do. Behold, all was vanity. All was chasing the wind. There was no profit under the sun. I turned myself to behold wisdom, madness, folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king? Even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelled folly as far as light excelled darkness. Wisdom was better. He said, I saw that the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it happens to me. I'm the wisest man who ever lived. But look, as it happens to the fool, it happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. So what? I'm wiser than the fool. Where does that get me? Verse 16. There is no remembrance of the wise man more than the fool. Isn't that the truth? Unless you're some super president, or, and they'll even try to rewrite your history. But anyway, some super guy. Bottom line, years pass, the fool ain't remembered, and the wise guy ain't remembered. I mean, that's crazy. So what's important? Do you know Jesus? Amen? That's the important thing. This life isn't all there is, friend. Seeing that which now is, the days to come shall be also forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? Somebody tell me. As the fool. So here's what he said. He said two statements. He said, I hated my life. I hated my life. I did all this. Surely, Solomon, you had the best life. Come on, man. He said, I hated my life. Look at it. I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I hated my life. The second thing he says is this. I hated my work. I hated my labor. I looked at everything I did, all that I accomplished, all the stuff I had. I hated it. I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Look at this last line. Say it with me if you don't mind. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Boy, he prophesied. Bottom line is he was saying, I can work and I've done everything I've done, but look, who's going to get it when I'm dead and gone? Is there a hearse that goes behind the funeral? Is there a trailer behind the hearse? Say, uh-uh. You don't take it with you. And he prophesied. His son Rehoboam came after him, ruled after him, totally destroyed the kingdom. He was an absolute idiot. Wasted everything. Horrible situation. There ought to be more to life. Solomon says, I can't get no satisfaction. What did I learn today? Three things, and I'm done. And Roger, we got to fly. I don't have all the time to do all the scriptures. Can you say that with me? Live your life today for Jesus Christ. Why don't you get right with God today? Well, I'll do it tomorrow, preacher. I'll do it next week. You know what I learned from this week reading? I need to be right with God today. Anthony Berger. How many knows that name when I say Anthony Berger? Anthony Berger was one of the finest gospel piano players that ever lived. I had my moment of fame was when Anthony Berger played when I sang with the Kingsmen one time. I sang Beulah Land, and Anthony Berger played that piano. Anthony Berger was playing on a gospel cruise this week out in the middle of the Caribbean. He was playing, and we shall behold him. He fell over dead. 44 years old. 44 years old. The great Anthony Berger. Some of you don't know him. Trust me. Guy could play the piano like nobody. 44. Listen to me. When should you live your life for the Lord? Next week? Next month? I'm going to get right. Why don't you get saved today? Why don't you put your faith and trust in Christ today? Hell could be that far away for you. You hearing me? Say. Why? Why be so hard-headed? Trust Christ today for crying out loud. Does that make any sense to anybody other than me? Live your life today for the Lord. Don't take any thought for tomorrow, what tomorrow is going to bring. It'll take thought of itself. Sufficient is the evil thereof today. Jesus said that. You've got enough mess to worry about today. Don't even worry about that. Live life today. Keep moving. Seek eternal value. That's number two. What I learned this week. Seek eternal value, not immediate satisfaction. Solomon went after everything he could get to try to satisfy. But just like old Mick Jagger, he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get no satisfaction. Look at Colossians. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with God. You know what that word means right there? Set your affection on things above. It means set your thinking on high things. Why are you and me looking so often at getting pleasure out of this world we live in right here? Why don't we set our affection on high things? We tell our kids, shoot for the stars, don't we say? Why don't we do that? Why don't we set our affections on high things? Nothing's higher than Jesus. Set your affections up there, not on things of this earth. Here's the third thing I learned. Walking by faith is the only cure for dissatisfaction and disappointment. If you're looking to live a life without any disappointment, you need to go ahead and just pull the plug, I guess. Excuse me. You're going to be disappointed in this life. You're going to be let down in this life. You're going to have hard times in this life. Here's the only thing that can cure that. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Here's what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes I see so much it discourages me. I need faith to see above all this mess. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Let's put it. Verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There's going to be disappointment. I need to look to the Lord. Final verses from Jesus this morning. Jesus says, I can satisfy you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. The devil's told you if you'll become a Christian, he'll send you to Africa. Listen, bunch of bull. Listen, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Final verse this morning. Jesus told a woman who had been married to five men. She's now living with the sixth. He asked her for some water. And then he said this to her about himself. He said, ma'am, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something today. I've made mistakes, monked up, don't have all my act together sometimes. I'll tell you something. I can recommend Jesus to you today. He's been good to me. I tell you what, when I found Jesus and the more I know about him, my search for satisfaction is not like it used to be. I find it all in him. He can meet every need of your life. He can fill that void in your heart today. He has done that for me. Listen to a wise man, not this guy. Anything else is chasing the wind. Let's pray together. Stand with me, would you? Thank you so much for listening today. Wow. That is tough to get into and keep it short, but thank you so much for listening. I hope that the screen and the verses help at least to keep us on the same page. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed one of your servants, even though he had all kinds of problems, you allowed his record to be written. And you said, yeah, I'll include that in that book to help the folk. And thank you, Lord. This book's good for us. It's helped us today, I believe. And I pray somehow, Holy Spirit, you'll take my feeble words today. And you'll help it to be a blessing in people's lives, in their heart. I pray that they'll really, really, really think it through. Are they just spinning in circles like the old Chicago sewer worker? Or does their life have purpose and meaning? Help them, God, I pray. We want folks to know Christ and to have purpose in life. Bless them, I pray today. We pray in Jesus' name.